It's traditional when you're speaking in a church to say it's good to be here. Everybody expects you to say that. But it really is good to be here. When I'm asked to share the word at Spencerport Bible Church, I can honestly say I look forward to it from the time I'm invited to the time I exit the building. You're wonderful, Spirit-filled, Christ-honoring church, and God's using you to his glory and honor. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Lord, we thank you so much that you are the light of the world, and that, Lord, you are the Savior of all who believe. We thank you, Lord, that you have put light in every part of the world with your people and your churches who proclaim you. Lord, bless this church in a powerful way. Bless each person in it. Holy Spirit, move in a wonderful way, even now. And we'll be careful to give you all of the glory, all of the honor, and all of the praise. In Jesus' name, amen. I'm going to share a familiar passage today from Luke chapter 16, verses 19 through 31. If you have a Bible, please turn to Luke chapter 16, verses 19 through 31. I'll be reading from the King James Version. This is the story of Lazarus, Abraham, and the rich man. And there are many things I want to share with you today, but the main one is this. Some people, when they do their devotionals, they read the Bible with great confidence because they pray first, they depend upon the Holy Spirit, and they know that the Word of God never returns void. And so we should have confidence. Other people, they'll say, oh, you know, the Bible's so hard to understand. You know, it's so complicated sometimes. There's things I don't understand. Well, if you're one of those people today, my purpose for being here today is to share with you that if you would just pray, open your heart to the Holy Spirit, and read the Bible, there's a gold mine of wisdom and power and guidance in it. I'm going to take this passage today, Lord willing, and show you some very basic things. But as basic as they are and as simple as they are, they're overwhelming. They're tremendous. They're of vital importance. And I can't emphasize that enough. Let me read the passage first, and let me encourage you, if you have a Bible, to keep it open after I'm done reading, too, as I share some thoughts with you about it. Luke chapter 16, verses 19 through 31. There was a certain rich man which was clothed in purple and fine linen, and fared sumptuously every day. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, which was laid at his gate, full of sores, and desiring to be fed with the crumbs that fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. And it came to pass that the beggar died, and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. And in hell, he lifted up his eyes, being in torments, and seeth Abraham afar off, and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus, that he may dip the tip of his finger in water, and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. But Abraham said, Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receivest thy good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things. But now he is comforted, and thou art tormented. And beside all this, between us and you, there is a great gulf fixed, so that they which would pass from hence to you cannot, neither can they pass to us that would come from thence. Then he said, I pray thee therefore, Father, that thou would send him to my father's house. For I have five brethren, that he may testify unto them, lest they also come to this place of torment. Abraham saith unto him, they have Moses and the prophets. Let them hear them. And he say, nay, Father Abraham, but if one went unto them from the dead, they will repent. And he said unto them, if they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one rose from the dead. That's the passage we're looking at today. And there are some powerful, powerful truths in there that anyone who's willing to can understand. With all of the Bible, we certainly need the Holy Spirit's help. But he's always willing to help if we ask him. It's very important to pray before we read the Bible and ask God to open up the scriptures, because they are divine and they are understood only through the ministry of the Holy Spirit. That's why a person without the Holy Spirit and without a faith in God, a lot of the Bible seems foolish to people like that. But to a person who has the Holy Spirit and knows God, God is their partner, God is their Savior, God is their Lord, and he leads them into paths that no one else can go except those who have Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, or those who are seeking Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. And these truths are not hard to understand if we look at them. There are three men in this passage. The first one is called the rich man. The second one is Lazarus. The third one is Abraham. The rich man, according to some church traditions, is called dives, such as he dives into the water. But that's not in the Bible. It's a church tradition. So you can take it or leave it. It doesn't really matter. But the interesting thing about this man who was rich is there's no mention of angels transporting him to hell. When Lazarus died, it's a beautiful, beautiful passage where it says that the angels came and carried him to heaven. What that tells me is that as Christians, you and I don't need to fear death, because we will never face it alone. Jesus Christ says, I will never leave you nor forsake you. I am with you always, even unto the end of the age. And Romans chapter 8 says, nothing can separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. I personally believe that when a believer is dying, one of three things happens. Either God sends his loved ones who've gone before him to take him to heaven, or God sends angels to take him to heaven, or God himself in Jesus Christ appears at that deathbed to take the person to heaven. But we don't go on our own. We're studying maps in Sunday school this morning. I don't know if I could find heaven on my own, even with a good map, because I'm not good at reading maps. You say, well, use a GPS. I'm even worse at that. I used a GPS one time to visit someone that was very ill. And I ended up where I started from. I listened to the GPS, and I was in one intersection in Chilai, listened to it all the way through, and ended up right where I started from. That was the end of my affair with GPSs. But Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. He is the way to the Father. He is the way to heaven. He's the door. And with Jesus, we can't get lost. We're lost until we have Jesus. We're found once we have Jesus. So Lazarus, this beggar, was transported to heaven not alone, not in darkness, not in fear, not in pain, but by angels. I can't imagine too many things more comforting than that. On the other hand, the rich man, there's no mention of angels transporting him to hell. And I'll tell you what, the only angels in hell are fallen angels, and I would just assume they didn't bother me anyway. It says regarding the rich man, now he is in torments. We live in a generation where most people don't believe in hell. And there's a good reason for that. They don't want to. They don't like to think about it. They don't like to contemplate it. But it's in the Word of God. God wrote the Bible. There's no book like it. There's no book equal to it. The more you read it, the more you know that it comes from God. And once the Holy Spirit convinces you that it's the Word of God and you know that every word of God is pure and true, you know you can trust every word from God and that it will be fulfilled. And Jesus Christ himself spoke about hell frequently, not to scare people, not to be mean, not to be negative, but out of love to warn people. To warn people to flee from the wrath to come. To warn people to repent or perish. To warn people to believe in him and receive God's free gift of everlasting life. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. The Bible says that loud and clear in the book of Romans. Sin brings death, and we see that all the time. Turn on the news tomorrow, and I promise you, you'll see it. When people sin, they shoot people, they knife people. There's a lot of violence, a lot of terrorism, a lot of war. That's what sin brings, death. Jesus Christ came to seek and to save that which was lost, and to give his life a ransom for many. He says, I come that they might have life and life more abundant. Jesus never came to make anyone's life miserable, but he came to save anyone who would receive from him the gift of God, which is forgiveness, mercy, and eternal life. If you don't receive that gift, you don't have that gift. No one else can offer you that gift. And there's no other source for that gift. Jesus says, no one comes to the Father except by me. The rich man, this kind of struck me this week as I was going over this passage again. Did you notice this? I didn't notice this until this week, and I've read this passage for 40 years. The rich man, even after he's dead, even after he's in hell, he never speaks to Lazarus. Did you catch that? If you did, you're ahead of me, because I didn't catch it till this week, and the Holy Spirit pointed it out to me. But there's got to be a reason for that. Twice the rich man wants Lazarus to do things for him. He wants Lazarus to bring him water. He wants Lazarus to warn his brothers. But he never asks Lazarus to do anything. He still thinks he's above Lazarus. He still thinks he's better than Lazarus because he's rich and successful and Lazarus is poor and unsuccessful in the world's eyes. And so he goes to Abraham. He talks to the celebrity, the patriarch, the, the famous person. He ignores Lazarus even after the rich man's been judged for his pride, his lack of love, his lack of respect for others. He hasn't learned a thing yet, or at least not much. Another thing that comes out in this passage is the rich man says, "For I am tormented in flame." Now it's Jesus that's speaking in this passage. And Jesus said, the rich man said, "I am tormented in flame." Flame is fire. We all know that. Hell is real. The flames are real. The fire is real. People don't like to hear that today. They want everything to be nice and peaceful and happy, and nobody gets punished and nobody suffers. But it's not the truth. It's not reality. You want to look at reality, just take a trip to Israel today. There are a lot of people suffering there today. They're suffering horribly. You and I are in a very comfortable, lovely, Christ-honoring church right now. We're safe. I don't think anyone here is starving to death right now. If you are, there's cookies in the other room. But in the world, there's a lot of suffering. There's a lot of pain because of sin, because of people rejecting Christ, because people following false religions, counterfeits. If everybody in this world believed in the Lord Jesus Christ, if everybody in this world obeyed Jesus Christ, how many wars do you suppose there would be? How many murders do you suppose there would be? You want to find out? Go to heaven, because there's where Jesus Christ rules right now. And you'll find none. Because when God's in charge, everything works out right. When the human race is in charge, we're fallen. We're sinful. And we mess things up. I'm not going to talk long about how much I've messed up my own life, because every time I come here, people say, "Oh, you're too hard on yourself," you know. And I appreciate that, but I'm not too hard on myself. If you knew the real me, you'd throw me out of here. But I'm saved by the grace of God. I'm transformed by the blood of Jesus Christ. I'm a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. But I'll tell you what, without Jesus, I'd be standing right next to the rich man right now. And I would deserve to. The rich man, though, here's something that's kind of scary. The rich man had a burden for his brothers, even though he was in hell. He did not want his brothers to end up in hell, too. That's a noble thing, isn't it? That's a good thing, too. What does that tell us? It tells us that the people in hell are not 100% evil. They're just not 100% forgiven. They're just not 100% righteous. They're just not 100% holy. We know a lot of people who have good qualities, good characteristics, good natures, but they don't have Christ. And they do have sin. And if a police officer stopped me and said, "You just ran over a little old lady with your car," I said, "Yeah, but I wasn't speeding. I didn't run a stop sign. My car's registered. My good outweighs my bad. Can't you see it?" It wouldn't work, would it? The Bible says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. For all the good that you've done, God bless you. But for all the bad that you've done, you need the blood of Jesus Christ to cleanse you from all unrighteousness. We all do. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. This rich man was not all bad. Very few people are all bad. But it's not enough to be partially good and partially bad. We have to be cleansed with the blood of Jesus Christ. And when Jesus Christ died on the cross for our sins, his blood, the Bible says, washed away all of our sins. Not some of them, not most of them, but all of them. And nothing else can do that. Jesus paid it all. And that's why he said, it is finished. He finished the work God sent him to do. He completed the work that was necessary that you and I and whosoever could be saved. There's no one breathing right now who God can't save. But there's no one breathing right now who can be saved without Jesus Christ. The rich man felt that if someone came from the dead, people would believe him and get right with God. But how many people do you know that celebrate Easter, even in a religious way, but they're not right with Jesus? How many people do you know that intellectually or mentally, they say, okay, I believe Jesus rose from the dead, but they don't take it seriously. They don't take it to heart. They don't realize why he died, why he rose from the dead, was to save them. There were over 500 witnesses when Jesus rose from the dead. But you know, even when Jesus worked his miracles, people's hearts were so hardened and so much influenced by the world, the flesh and the devil, that some still rejected him. When the scribes and Pharisees heard that Jesus had raised the other Lazarus in the Bible from the dead, this is a different Lazarus, mind you, but it's a friend of Jesus, the brother Mary and Martha. When the scribes and the Pharisees, the religious leaders of the Jews, heard that Jesus had raised Lazarus from the dead, and some of them might have even witnessed it. They certainly must have witnessed some of his miracles. They nevertheless rejected Jesus and said, now we got to kill Jesus and Lazarus, because their hearts were hardened, and they hated that which was good and loved that which was evil. And they turned against the Son of God. Let's look at Lazarus. We've looked at the rich man. Let's look at Lazarus, again, the one in this Luke chapter 16. I mentioned earlier when he was died, he was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. This Lazarus was very poor. He was very sick. He had sores all over him. The dogs licked the sores. It reminds me of Job. I don't see that he had any friends. I don't see that he had any family. I don't see that he had anyone that felt sorry for him. I don't see anyone that tried to help him. But God loved him. And when it was time for his suffering to end, God sent angels to take him to heaven. I can't think of any greater reward than that, other than eternal life itself. To have God's holy angels come and say, we're taking you home, and you'll have no more sores, no more poverty, no more shame, no more suffering, no more sorrow. You're going to be made whole, and you're going to be perfect for eternity. That's quite a reward, isn't it? That's a gift of God through Jesus Christ. And that's what the poor man got, not the rich man. Rich man didn't get it. All his money couldn't get that. All his fame and fortune couldn't get that. But the poor man who had nothing to offer, absolutely nothing to offer, received God's mercy through Jesus Christ. Received God's mercy through the promises of the scriptures. And Jesus Christ sent those angels to take him to heaven. And he's there now. He's not feeling any pain. It's interesting that it mentions here that he couldn't travel to hell even if he wanted to. Because Abraham tells the rich man, there's a big gap between us, and the ones that are in heaven can't go to hell, and the ones that are in hell can't go to heaven. So even if Lazarus wanted to help this rich man, even if he wanted to give him some water, he couldn't, because it's appointed to men to die, and after that, the judgment. Behold, now is the accepted time. Now is the day of salvation. If you're going to get right with God, do it while you're breathing. Do it while you're alive. Do it while you can hear the word of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. You can do it now. You can't do it in the grave. Today, if you hear his voice, harden not your hearts. Behold, as I said, now is the accepted time. Now is the day of salvation. Now, I know I'm mostly preaching to the choir here today, that anytime I preach in a Bible-believing church, chances are the majority of people I'm preaching to are born again, and they're saved. And that's wonderful, and I'm thankful for that. But what the Holy Spirit reminds me, and what he would remind you, is this. We all have people in our lives who are not saved. We all have people in our lives who don't know the Lord. And God can use each and every one of us Christians to be a light, to bring them to Jesus Christ. Without Jesus Christ, we can do nothing. I know that. But with Jesus Christ, all things are possible. And Jesus Christ describes himself in the Gospel of John. He says, I am the light of the world. But then he also talks to his disciples. He says to the disciples, you are the light of the world. Remember that? We are the light of the world because the light of Jesus Christ, the light of the gospel, shines in our hearts because God has put the Holy Spirit and the Word of God in our hearts. And he didn't do it just to entertain us or to make us happy, but those, so that other people on this planet could see light and come to the light. I became a Christian because I saw the light of Jesus Christ in the life of other teenagers my own age that were saved and I was lost. I could see they were different from me because they had Christ and I didn't. I could see the difference, and so I asked them, how can I get what you have? I want the peace you have. I want the joy you have. I want the clean conscience you have. I want the promises you have. And they shared with me Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ shared with me that there's no sinner too hard for him to save if they will come and repent and believe the gospel. One last thing about Lazarus, but it's kind of interesting, and maybe you noticed this, maybe you didn't too. I didn't notice it before. I've been a Christian since 1971, and I didn't notice some of these things. So don't go to me if you need tutoring. I missed a lot of this stuff for 40 years, 50 years. But the other thing about Lazarus that's interesting here to me is he never said a word. In this whole passage, Lazarus never says a word. Now, part of it is because the rich man never says a word to him. But Lazarus had opportunities to speak, but he didn't. Why didn't he? I don't know exactly why, but I do know this. Abraham was present. Abraham's one of the patriarchs. And if we listen to Abraham, as we're going to see in a minute, and we listen to the other patriarchs, we will hear the gospel and know the word of God, and know the way of salvation. Let's look at Abraham. It's interesting to me, and this is going to step on some toes here probably, so if you get mad at me, my car's not here, you're going to have to do something to Bill's car instead. But interesting thing about Abraham to me is he's not overly sympathetic to the rich man. Do you notice that? The rich man says, I'm in torment. Have mercy on me. Send Lazarus. Abraham says, remember, you in your lifetime received good things and Lazarus evil things, but now he's comforted and you're tormented, and there's a great gap between us now that neither one of us can cross. He didn't say, oh, you know, I feel so sorry for you. Did Abraham feel sorry for him? I'm sure he probably did. One big change that's going to happen to you and me when we get to heaven is this. For the first time in our lives, we are going to 100% agree with Jesus Christ. What do I mean by that? What I mean by that is we are very prejudiced right now. We all have people in our lives that we say, well, he's not a Christian, but he's a really nice person. She's not a Christian, but she's very kind. And we somehow think they're going to sneak into heaven the back way or something without Jesus Christ. We see them as humans see them. God sees them as God sees them. And heaven is a perfect place where there's no sin. None whatsoever. If I was allowed into heaven before I was saved, I would have ruined the place. I would have polluted the place. It wouldn't be heaven anymore. I had to be cleansed thoroughly before I would be fit for heaven. And I couldn't do it on my own. No matter if I was the nicest person in the world, which I wasn't, but if I was, it wouldn't do a bit of good. Because only the blood of Jesus Christ could make me whole and can make you whole and can make those people you love whole. People need Jesus desperately. So Abraham accepts the fact that God didn't make any wrong decisions. How many times have you heard someone say, well, I don't believe a loving God could let anyone go to hell? God never sends anyone to hell. They write their own ticket. We go to hell because of the sins we commit. We don't go to hell because God says, I feel like sending people to hell today. God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance, Peter writes. God wants everybody saved. That's why he sent his son into this world and sacrificed his son with the most horrible death ever so that people could be saved. God sacrificed the one he loved the most to save the people that hated him the most. And so don't blame God. God did everything he could to save us. Jesus did everything he could to save us. It's there for anyone, whosoever will. Last book of the Bible, last chapter of the Bible, Revelation 22, whosoever will, let them come and take of the water of life freely. Anyone can be saved who will repent and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and receive him as Lord and Savior. If they don't do that, there's no other way. If they do that, it doesn't matter who they were or what they did, God will forgive. Jesus will save. So Abraham, now being in heaven, is not blinded like we are by our flesh. I have a lot of people I love who are not Christians. I want them in heaven. I desperately want them in heaven. But I honestly know they're not going to get there until their sins are washed away. They're not going to get there until they receive Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. There's no other way. Abraham tells the rich man, they have Moses and the prophets. Let them hear them. This is very important because this is saying you can be saved just reading the Old Testament. I've been preaching since around 1971 or 72. I know I don't look that old. Shake your heads, please. But I've been preaching since 1971 or 72. But I've never ever felt that people, since I've been saved, could be saved without hearing the Word of God, the Bible. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. The Bible is God speaking to us. It's Jesus Christ speaking to us. It's the Holy Spirit speaking to us. That's why there are absolutely no errors in it. It is inerrant, it is infallible, it is the perfect word of God. Every other book in the world that's been written is imperfect, but God never makes mistakes. And once we believe that, once we have our complete faith in God's word, it's the same as having faith in God, isn't it? If I trust someone's word completely, that means I trust them, doesn't it? And you can read the Old Testament and be saved. My favorite book in the Bible is Isaiah. That's in the Old Testament. There is so much in Isaiah that can bring you to Jesus Christ. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son. Merry Christmas. That's the Old Testament. Micah, the Messiah will be born in Bethlehem. Throughout the Old Testament, Jesus Christ is there. He says, search the scriptures, for they speak of me. He told the scribes and the Pharisees that. And then finally, I want to tell you this, that Abraham told the rich man, if they hear not Moses and the prophets, if they won't believe the Bible, whether it's the Old Testament or the New Testament or both, neither will they be persuaded though one rose from the dead. Abraham is saying that if you're going to be saved, this could be by faith, not by sight. And that there were people who saw Jesus' miracles and still didn't believe in him because they chose not to. He says, come unto me. He doesn't grab him and say, you're coming to me whether you like it or not. He says, come unto me, all ye who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. He offers anyone that will come to him to be forgiven and to have eternal life and to be saved and have a home in heaven. But he wept several times in the Bible. He wept over the other Lazarus one time in John chapter 11. But he also wept over Jerusalem, and he said, oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, how often I would have gathered you as a hen gathers her chicks under her wings, but you would not come to me that you might have life. Jesus wept for them. They didn't weep for him. They said, crucify him, crucify him. We have no king but Caesar. But he wept for them. Even when they hated him, even when they mocked him, even when they rejected him, he wept for them. Because he loves everyone. Everyone. So much. God so loved the world. You know John 3:16, if you've ever watched a football game. John 3:16, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son so that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Whosoever means anyone. Doesn't matter what the sin, if they come to Christ, Jesus died for that sin. He shed his blood. He washed away that sin. And there's nothing he wants more than to save that. Paul calls himself the chief of sinners. I don't know. I think I could match him, but we'll argue that when we get to heaven. But it's crystal clear that God wants people saved. All people saved. And that's why you and I are here today. To get some fire, not from me, but from the Word of God and from the Holy Spirit. To go into all the world and preach the gospel. This is a lighthouse here. This is a wonderful, wonderful lighthouse here. I'm not trying to flatter you. The Bible never tells us to flatter people. But it does say to encourage the brethren, and you are doing a wonderful work here by proclaiming and believing the Word of God and through the ministries you have. Serve God with your whole heart, and God will bring forth much fruit. Let's pray, and then we'll be closing with a song. Lord, thank you so much for every brother and sister in Christ. All of us have the same background, Lord. We sinned and fell short of the glory of God, but while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And he was buried, and he rose from the dead for one reason, that whosoever believes in him would not perish, but have everlasting life. Lord, each one of us here knows people who need Jesus Christ. And the world, the flesh, and the devil keep whispering in our ear and our mind, oh, they're not going to get saved. Don't waste your time. They're not going to believe. But your word says, preach the word, be instant in season and out of season. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Lord, help us to serve you with our whole heart so people can't help but see that Jesus lives in us and would live in them. Without you, we can do nothing. With you, all things are possible. We give you all the glory. In Jesus' name, amen. And thank you for having me here today. Like I say, I really count it a privilege to be able to be here. You're a wonderful group of believers.